please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. Today, we're going to be diving into the Word of God. We're going to be in Psalm 42 and looking at that some more. I think I've got some interesting things to share with you about the latter part, verses 9 through 11 of Psalm 42, things that might help you and I and our, I guess that would be you and me, in our day-to-day walk with God. And so we're looking forward to that. I want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete. JITS Concrete has been doing work in Brevard County for a long, long time. They've got decades and decades of experience. Between the members of the crew, there's probably well over 100 years worth of concrete experience. That's a lot of projects. That's a lot of successful projects. And so if you have a concrete job, whether it's a foundation, whether it's a pad, whether it's you know, something of a of large nature, maybe even of a small nature, I don't know what their schedule is like these days, but they may be a great resource for you to call. JITS Concrete's phone number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. The Anderson family's been a part of Merit Assembly of God longer than I have. They're the ones that make up JITS Concrete. And if you do find them a resource that would be a blessing to you, like one contractor I talked to and I said, this is the concrete people that I want to use. He said, turns out your concrete people are my concrete people. They put their experience, their expertise, and their great work ethic to work anything from the prep to the design to the obtaining the materials, doing the installation, doing the finishing, doing the cleanup, and then getting out of the way so you can move forward. That's what JITS Concrete wants to do. I've seen them work extremely early. I've seen them working on weekends and things like that. They've done a number of projects in the area of the church, and we are thankful. They've done work for me at my house. They've done work at the church and in the neighborhood of the church. And so lots of repeat customers as well. So 321-536-5804. We thank JITS Concrete for being friends of the Refresh radio program and helping to bring this program to you day after day, week after week, for almost 13 years now, not quite. About another 6 weeks or so, we will have completed our 12th year. We'll launch into our 13th year at the end of October. So, Psalm 42, verse number 9. The sons of Korah write this: I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you down or cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So verse number 9 here, the sons of Korah, they talk about God and they give him this title, to God, my rock. My rock, and it's capital R-O-C-K. The word there not only means to be a rock, but it means to be of substantial size so that you have a cliff that is, or a crag of a cliff. And when I read that, there's a couple of things that I think about. I think about that it describes Jesus in the New Testament as being the rock that followed the people of Israel throughout their wilderness wanderings for those 40 years. So even in their rebellion, Jesus, the Son of God, was providing hydration and shade and shelter all during those wilderness wanderings. He was still providing for them during their wanderings, even though they had rebelled against his command to go into the promised land. So I think that's a great foundational belief for what the questions, there are a series of questions, three questions that are going to be asked about God in the, or by the sons of Korah and by the enemies of the sons of Korah in these next few verses. And then there's the question that's repeated, the fourth question, why are you cast down, O my soul? So it's important to remember that Christ does not abandon us during difficult seasons. The second thing that I thought of was watching a video, a documentary about some of the animals that live in the wilderness of Israel. And I will be honest with you, folks, I had no idea about the barrenness and the very horrible dry conditions that existed in part of Israel. I knew about dry places and desert places in other countries. Israel is such a small area that it never entered my mind that there could be such a desert-like place, a very, very barren place. And so watching one of these documentaries, they were talking about these animals, and they do not have much in the way of natural defenses when it comes to predators, big cats, and hyenas and stuff like that. I think there were some foxes and wolves as well in the documentary. And these animals, their protection was the cliff in the air, in the dry place, in the wilderness, and that's where they were able to find their safe place, because they could get places on the cliff that the predators could not get to them. And so I want to remind you today that God is not just meant to be our Savior. He is meant to be our sanctuary. He is meant to be our safe place, that we can take shelter and that the enemy cannot access us there. So make sure that God is not just your Savior. Make sure that He is your sanctuary and His safe place. So the first question that the sons of Korah ask is, why have you forgotten me? Why have you forgotten me? Now, these are questions because they're going through a difficult season, but they're birthed out of a frustration. There's some feeling abandoned. The word there, forgotten, it means to forget or to leave behind or to stop caring for. And so I just want to remind you that God does not have a memory problem. God's memory is better than any memory of any person, any creature, any artificial intelligence. His memory is flawless. So if we feel forgotten, it's just not true. And so sometimes you're going to have to talk to yourself, and you are going to have to speak to yourself in difficult circumstances and say, even though I feel forgotten, even though I feel as if there's no one caring for me, I know that God is watching over me and that He is caring for me. I know that He has promised that He will not leave me behind. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. Lo, He is with me always, even to the end of the age. That whatever you have done for Him, that He will not forget that. Instead, he is going to reward you both in the future and in the life to come. So the enemy wants to try and get us to think negatively about God and think that he has somehow, without compassion, forgot about us, abandoned us, left us behind, and stopped caring for us. And I want you to know that all of those things are true of the devil. None of those things are true of God. The devil will abandon you in a heartbeat. The only reason that he fights for anybody is not because he loves them or cares for them. It's just that he hates God and wants to deprive people of an eternity with him. When I teach about Acts chapter 19 and the seven sons of Sceva, and there's a demon-possessed man that the seven sons of Sceva say, you know, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, and the demonized man says, well, I know about Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? He doesn't remember the people. Now, I tell you what he does remember. He remembers our failures. He remembers our shortcomings, and he uses those in his role as the accuser of the brethren. But those things may be those, the fact that the devil will forget you, will abandon you, and doesn't care for you at all. I mean, it's not that he stops caring for you. He does not care for humans at all. It's the fact that we are created in the image of God that motivates him in order to lash out at humanity. But God never stops caring for you. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knew us when we were in our mother's womb, that he created us before the foundation of the world. He created us on purpose for a purpose. He comes to save us. You know, one of the things that I like, he knew Nathaniel, the reality of his life, where he was sitting when they came and said, hey, we found the Messiah, come on, and I'll introduce you. And he knew where Nathaniel was sitting. He knew what Nathaniel's questions were. He knew all of that stuff. God never stops caring for you. Jesus right now is interceding at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is interceding in accordance with the perfect will of God. He orders our steps. He directs our path. He is our shepherd, and he watches over us for our well-being, but he also watches over us to protect us from the enemy. Why have you forgotten me? He hasn't. He hasn't. And so you have to know the right answer to the question, because if not, our feelings will cause us to draw the wrong conclusion. And so, you know, Paul said, if all we had was hope for this life, we would be of all men most miserable. If we have believed a lie, then we're deceived and we're just miserable. But the good news is, our rock is not like the rock of the world. Our rock is a faithful rock, and he does not forget. So he has perfect awareness and perfect recollection of everything that's going on in your life and my life. Next question. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And that mourning, it talks about being a person. Mourning is something that you would go through when there has been loss. Mourning causes everything to appear more dreary than they actually are. And this person says, the question of the sons of Korah, is, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So they were not only mourning because of the loss and you know, the brightness of life had been influenced, but because the enemy was putting so much pressure upon them. There was oppression and there was distress. There was distress. And it was all because of the enemy. An enemy here, and it's singular here, is a person that is has hostile intent. And so I want to remind you that God's intent to do us good, to work all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, his intent is of greater power and greater magnitude than the enemy's ability to bring about oppression. So Paul would write, I'm pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. And so however you go about your day, you can either go about your day focusing on your enemy, or you can focus on your ally. And I would highly suggest focusing on your ally. The ally that you have is God, who builds us up, doesn't tear us down. It doesn't mean that he may not remove some things from our life, because he most certainly will. But he doesn't remove it just to be mean. He removes it to make room for something that is of great benefit and greater value than what has been taken away. He takes away the rubble to make room for something beautiful. You see, there's a verse that talks about God not only builds a house, but he fills the house with beautiful, beautiful things. So my wife and I, we were on vacation a few weeks ago, and how we determined where we were going was, okay, where can we go that the weather's going to be nice? We didn't care about going to the beach. We live 6 miles from the beach as it is. We wanted to go someplace where it wasn't going to be raining every day. From what I understand, it rained almost every day while we were gone. And having had some staycations where it rained the entire time while I was here, I didn't want to experience that. And so we looked for some place that was going to be bright, it was going to be sunny, the weather was going to be pleasant, and no hurricanes would come that way. And so we ended up in a place just like that, and it was absolutely one of the best vacations that we've had. And while we were there, we weren't focused on the enemy who might have had hostile intent for us. Instead, we were focused on the God who is working all things together for the good. So we're like, God, thank you for this time that we can get away. And so wasn't working on sermon preparation or anything like that, just working on our personal relationship with Jesus. So verse number 10 describes what the enemies were doing. And it says, as with a breaking of my bones, my enemies, now the enemy has become enemies, there's a plural, and it says, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? So, as with the breaking of my bones, there's a, the lexicon describes that as prison rations, there was neglect, that there was very little that was available to eat. It was as if the city was under siege, that there was that there was all sorts of problems that were arisen, and so the supply chain was under great duress. Now, we saw what happens with a supply chain issue back in 2020, and how long that takes. I had a washing machine, and it needed to be repaired. I couldn't even get it repaired during that time because of supply chain issues. There was a car repair, and the car repair took a long time because there were supply chain issues. There was a family, they just moved last year, and they had a vehicle transmission broke down. Come to find out that there were still supply chain issues with that particular transmission. And I want to remind you that God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord, our provider. There are no supply chain issues when it comes to God's heavenly economy. If you need peace, he has it. Okay. And one of the things that I say is the enemy does not supply peace. He may give a reprieve from a time of conflict, but he cannot bring peace. He does not offer an adequate alternative to the love that can only come from God, because God is love. The best that the enemy can provide is lust, and that is a wholly inferior thing. So there are people who make their decisions based upon lust, and then they wonder why their relationships crumble. It's because lust will never be a foundation. It will always lead you to heartache and misery. But when you are built upon love, now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. When that is the foundational aspect of your life, when it's your love for God that is greater than anything else, then he is also going to provide a love dynamic between people that you are going to be able to be fully involved in that relationship, because you're not doing that for carnal reasons. You are doing that for the glory of God and for spiritual reasons. So there isn't a supply chain issue. So there's not going to be any weakness in you structurally due to a lack of nutrition. It goes, my enemies, again, that's plural now. So it may seem like your problems are multiplying faster than God's provision, but it says they reproach me, they taunt me, the sons of Korah said they treat me with contempt, and they annoy me. Now, I believe it was in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were being followed around by this demon-possessed girl. And this girl was saying, these are the servants of the Most High God telling us the way to be saved. And she did that day after day after day. And it said, Paul finally got annoyed and turned around and addressed the spirit and cast the demon out of the girl, and it upset the profit-making capabilities of the people who were abusing and you know, trafficking that lady's giftings. Look, God wants people set free spiritually to be able to love him and serve him with their whole heart and all the entirety of their being. So, He comes to set captives free. So if your enemy is taunting you, reproaching you, this is how they did it. There was a third question that they were asking. By the way, I hate taunting. It's football season. I hate taunting if it's done by any team, including my team. I've seen my Oklahoma Sooners, I've seen them taunt other players, and I was like, I don't like that. I've seen, while we were away, we watched some of the U.S. Open, and we saw people taunting their opponents, and I don't mind intensity. I don't mind celebrating with your team. I don't like taunting your opponent. So the enemies reproached the sons of Korah all day long, and this is how they did it. Where is your God? The lexicon says this was a rhetorical question, and it's it basically says this. Where is your God? He's nowhere. Your God is nowhere to be found. And I want you to understand that the reason that Christians are the most persecuted people on the planet is that's a true statement. That is not hyperbole. There have been more people persecuted since 1900 for being Christians than all throughout the history of Christianity. The reason is because our distinctive is our relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That statement means that God is the only way to salvation, the only way to heaven, the only way to be reconciled to the Father. So it is distinctive. It is exclusive. But the enemies are saying, you're surrounded by your enemies and your God is nowhere to be found. So what do you do in that situation? I want to tell you. You lift up your eyes and you look above your enemies. Doesn't matter how many there are. Doesn't matter how many layers or how many floors there are. You just keep lifting your eyes and you're going to find that God is on the throne. That he is your rock. He has weathered the storms of life and he is prevailing. He is your safe place. The enemy says, God forgot about you. And you can remind the devil, no, he has perfect recollection. He has engraved me on the palm of his hands. He will not forget me. Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I don't. I go about rejoicing because my problems have an expiration date and my God does not. So if it feels like you're going through a difficult season where supply isn't enough, you can remind yourself, God is my provider. He will provide himself. He will provide every good thing, every perfect thing that I need. Where is your God? He's right where he's always been. He's on the throne. Where is my God? He's living in my heart. So remind yourself of that today and live in victory. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.